Lord Jesus, we worship you tonight in our hearts. Help us tonight, feed us with a word in season to him that is weary. Help us, lead us, encourage us. We pray for the play next week, all week. Rehearsal is Monday night and open for anybody who wants to come. And then through the week, Pastor Love and others giving the invitation that people would be born of your spirit, they'd be drawn to you in their hearts, put their trust in you and turn from their ways to you, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to have a good word from the Lord tonight. And I'd like you to be awake, listening. I want you to pay attention. Can you do that? Are you with me? Ready? All right, here we go. Okay. Turn with me to Ephesians 5. We're going to scoot around a little bit. This is a very good message, I believe. Ephesians chapter 5, just for one verse, about being washed and sanctified. Chapter 5, verse 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it, talking about the church. Verse 25, by the way, I'm so glad to be in a church. What the church has done for our lives as a family is remarkable. What it has done for our thinking, our friendships, our future, our preparation in life, what the church has done in helping us to live this unique way and slow burn, walk by faith, and you will see what God will do for you. So verse 25, I don't think I have the iPad tonight, correct? I don't think I have it because of the play. Is that correct? Let's look at 25 and 26. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it. Sanctify and cleanse the church. I really believe us coming tonight, we get a spiritual food. We have spiritual fellowship. We're drinking of the same spirit. And there is a cleansing that happens with us because he's preparing his bride, where we will meet him in heaven. We will be there with him and be absolutely clean and beautiful. I want you to turn to the book of Esther with me and see how this happened to Esther and the perfumes and the cleansing that happened with Esther. Okay. Chapter 2. Oh, good. Does that work? Is it on? It's not. Avery, can you just look at that? Okay. Esther chapter 2 and verse. Do you see this? It's not on. Okay, they got to turn it on. Okay. Chapter 2. In verse 12. Now when every maid's turn was come to go into King Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months, according to the manner of the women, for so they were the days of their purifications accomplished, to wit, 6 months with oil of myrrh and 6 months with sweet odors and with other things for the purifying of the women. So I think of this woman being purified, coming before the king, and she has months, 12 months total, of this anointing, bathing, purification, and then comes before the king. So that is happening to us. That's the picture, and then it is happening to us because of our hearts. So turn to Jeremiah 17, please, and verse 9. 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? It's not up there yet. Okay. All right. So, okay, here we go. Right. The coughing is, that's okay. Praise the Lord. We love you guys down here praying for you. Chapter 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? So who knows a person? Who can know what is in our heart? The answer is the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:11. Could that go up on the screen? 1 Corinthians 2:11. For who knows the things of a man but the spirit of a man? So I could be going through a difficult time, and then I meet you. I go, hi, how are you doing? How are you? I'm great, thank you very much. But inside, I'm not. I could be after God, and then maybe I'm not after God anymore. How are you doing? Oh, I'm after God, I could say. Or I could want to be after God, but in my heart, I'm not. Because this is the way we are as people. This is human. This is life for us. The heart of man, who can know it? It's desperately wicked. And who can find it out? But God is amazing because he loves us and knows us. And he knows how to minister to us, how to cleanse us, how to purify us, how to make us focused. God, and we learn how to do this. We learn to walk in the Spirit. We learn to be people. It's very interesting. We taught the high school today about this subject, Proverbs 14:10. Could we put that up for me? Thank you. Proverbs 14, verse 10. The heart knows his own bitterness, and a stranger does not intermeddle with his joy. This is psychology right there. That's amazing, really. I know my own bitterness, but you may not know my bitterness. Because it's mine, I know it. In a similar way, I know my joy. Like when I was first born again and the months that came after, I had this amazing joy. I knew that joy, but my friends didn't know it. They didn't know my joy. And then similarly, people don't know our bitterness. Hannah couldn't have a child. And she was sad and depressed. And her husband said to her something. He tried to minister to her. And what did he say? Hannah's husband said, am I not better to you than having 10 sons? And like, how did she answer? It's not recorded. Like, I appreciate that you have very high regard for yourself, but that doesn't minister to me. My husband's high regard for himself doesn't minister to me. You don't know my bitterness. You don't know, and also you may not know my joy. Right? Because we are people, and there are layers. There are layers. And when Jesus is saying, I cleanse the church, he's talking about layers, like going to our hearts. He's talking about speaking to us. He's talking about going deep in our spirit and in our heart. That's why we love Jesus so much, because he's the only one who can do it. Everything else is like a game. You know, how are you? I'm great. How are you? Yeah, super. And also, the sorrow may not be, that's also a question. How my sorrow may be an empty, a phony sorrow. Crocodile tears, we call them, right? Just because somebody's crying doesn't mean that God has touched their heart. Or like Judas went out and he, you know the story in Matthew 27. So it's God that knows you. And it's God that gives you, I don't know if I got my iPad yet. Nope, not yet. Maybe it doesn't work. Okay? All right, so because of the play. I told you. Okay, now let's go to the main point here. This is beautiful. When Christ came into the world, he's the one that knows you. Remember Elijah said, the woman, her son died, 2 Kings 4, her son died, and she came to, they said, Gehazi said, is everything well? Is your husband okay? Is your child okay? Is everything okay? And she said, all is well. And she came to Elijah's feet and grabbed his feet. And Gehazi went to push her away. And then Elijah said, leave her alone. The Lord has hidden it from me, what is bothering her. The Lord has not shown me what is her. I didn't know this, but she's heartbroken. The Lord has not shown this to me. I love the ministry because the Spirit gives us the capability to understand that people are very hungry and thirsty and very needy for a relationship with God, and also very sensitive to what the Spirit has to say to them, and to be led by the Spirit and have conviction in our heart regarding truth. Because Christ said, you will know the truth and it will radically affect you. It'll set you free. Because God knows you and you know God. You are being cleansed by God and being built up by God. Now comes the third part of the message, and this is very fascinating. It's 2 Peter 2. And thanks for following this with me. It's first point, heart. Who knows it? Nobody. God knows it. You may know your own bitterness. You may know your own sorrow, your own joy. Number two, God cleanses the church. God prepares us to meet him. And it can't, when we meet him, it is not going to be phony or empty or superficial. When we meet him, we're going to meet him with our righteousnesses that have been imparted to us, with the righteousness that has been imputed to us. We're going to meet him with our new character, with our new nature. And in this lifetime, we are learning that cleansing and conviction, we have like conviction about things, and that conviction is persuasion. Like what I'm saying tonight in my heart and in the spirit, I know the spirit is saying these things, and I know the spirit is saying, like in the word, that there really is a fellowship in the spirit, and we know each other, we know Christ, we drink the same spirit, and we have a similar understanding, and we know what sin is. We know what a lie is. It's like Psalm 101. Yeah, we know what that is. But, and here it is. It's 2 Peter 2. And I'm make this just simple. I know this could really preach. This could really be an amazing message. But I just want to show it to you for a few minutes. 2 Peter 2, about this emptiness and what happens here with Balaam, chapter 2, verse 15. Oh, okay, thank you. Oh, good. Okay. Thanks. All right. 2 Peter 2:15. Which have forsaken the right way and have gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with men's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. No, let's just make a little sketch. Slow down here for a minute. I want you to see something. There was a madness with the prophet. Okay, it's very meaningful. He could not stop. He could not stop. He was moved. He was drawn by temptation. He was after money, and he couldn't stop. Even the donkey talking, it couldn't stop him. He talked back to the donkey. Like, where was the blindness coming from? What happened to this man? And I was thinking about people who are driven. Well, turn to Jeremiah 2 for another illustration of this drive. It's about a wild verse, chapter 2, verse 24. A wild ass used to the wilderness that snuffs up the wind at her pleasure. In her occasion, who can turn her away? Anybody know what that means? In her occasion, who can turn that wild donkey in the wilderness? Who can control that animal? In her occasion, it's when she's in heat, when she's like wanting to mate. Who could take control of that animal? Like, she's driven. Like, you cannot control that animal. This is a. I don't know what that is. This is an illustration of what happens to people. Yeah, they don't have the control. They cannot say no. They cannot control themselves. They are driven by that thing that's in their heart. They can't stop. And Balaam is an example of a guy that you can follow the history. It's in Numbers chapter 22. Let me just emphasize this. Madness of the prophet means he's being driven and even crushing his foot against the wall does not stop him. The donkey going down to the ground, going laying down, doesn't stop him. The donkey talking to him in a human language does not stop him. That's a drive. That's Balaam is being driven. He can't stop. That's an incredible thing. I'm saddened by it because that's how people live. They don't have the authority or the control over them because it's in their hearts. It's in their heart. And how do you know what is in their heart? Because we're very good with our layers. You know, how are you doing? Great, I'm fine, and so on, and we do that. And that's what I want to say tonight, very simply and shortly. And I want you to see it with me. Okay, you turn to Numbers chapter 22. And I'll point out a couple of things of how the sequence went. And I want you to think about it for your own life. Maybe it helps you. At least I want you to know we know about it. We know that people are driven and they can't stop. We know that people are prone to do this. They can develop habits, they just cannot stop them. Of course, Jesus Christ is the answer. And hearing him in the local assembly, hearing him in your spirit, because as we said, it's the spirit of a man that is more important to the man. It's more than his body. The spirit of a man is stronger than his body. The spirit of a man is greater than his soul. There's three parts. There's spirit, soul, body in a person. You know this. This is they are listed there in that verse. Spirit. Now, Proverbs 16:33, it says this, a man that rules his what? Spirit is greater than a man who can take a city. Who takes a city? Alexander the Great. Who takes a city? Napoleon Bonaparte. Who takes a city? General Patton in Europe. Who takes a city? Those are great things. But a man who rules his spirit, a man that walks in the spirit, a man thinks, here we go. You want to take this one? Turn it on. Hello? Yeah, a man that takes his life with Christ in the spirit is greater, because long before the donkey talks, the man is corrected. Way before his foot is crushed against the wall, the man is corrected. When God says, don't go with these men, look at Numbers chapter 22 and verse 9. God came unto Balaam and said, what men are these with you? And Balaam said unto God, Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, he sent unto me, behold, there is a people. Okay, and God said, you shall not go with them. Verse 12. Okay, you shall not go with them. There it is. That's like step number one. Do not go with them. Could it be clearer? Do not go with them. What a story. Because of time and because there's a lot here, I want you to read this chapter and think about it with me this week. Yeah, think about it. And also think about people coming to our play and for the Spirit to move in their lives and for them to have hope about life and for them not being driven and run in the way of Balaam and they can't stop it. Now, I want you to think about God changing somebody's life by the Spirit. After God, and they hear God, and God says, don't go with them, then don't go with them. When he says, don't go with them, then don't go with them. But Balaam couldn't help it. What did he say? Balaam thought it was an opportunity to be with important people, to be with the king, to be with the princess, maybe also money. We know it became money. But how did he process this? We don't know, but it wasn't in his heart to obey God. It wasn't in his heart. So he's kind of like schmoozing, you know. It's kind of like, you know, well, you know, could I go with them? And then God says, go with them. He does. He says it in the chapter. Go with them. But the whole thing takes on force. It takes on some momentum in his heart. And now he's going, you know, again, there's a lot in that chapter, but you can follow it. But it takes time, but it can catch you. You play with fire, you get burnt. God said, don't go with them, and you end up going with them. And the Lord is saying, and then Balaam says to God, could I go with them? And the Lord said, go with them. But he didn't want him to. But he said, go with them. Because I think God wrote it for us to see how crazy we can be, how manipulative we can be, how when it's not in my spirit, when it's not in my heart, when I don't have conviction about it, how upside down it can go. And soon I'm going in a way and nobody's stopping me. I'm going to go get the drugs downtown and nobody is stopping me. If my car breaks down, I'm walking. If I get hurt in my leg, I'm dragging myself. I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I'm going after that woman or I'm going after that thing. I'm going after that thing, and this is a spiritual lesson. It's a powerful one. And I'm sharing it with you tonight. I don't know why. I've known about the message for a long time. I haven't preached it that I know of for a long, maybe, I don't know if I ever have, but I want you to study it. And I want you to know that God has all authority and power over our sin nature and that we were crucified with Christ. And if we hear him and follow him, we will be free. And say, I'm not going with those people. God's against it. I'm not into it. I'm done. I don't have anything to do with it. I'm not touching it. That's fire. I'm not in it. That's the idea. I say this because maybe, because it's good for you to know about it and hear about it, and just to know that Jesus will help you so that you can be free and you're not driven. They ran in the way of Balaam. It's kind of like, I think of running, and it's like, you're not stopping me. And the donkey, you know, he was riding the donkey, of course, but the donkey talked. That didn't stop him. The donkey talked. That did not stop him. Wow. So what do? We are loved by God, washed. The fragrance goes layers, layers. The fragrance for 12 months, the woman was prepared to meet the king. And when she came, I mean, it was... it's a picture of what God does with us. And you can catch the fragrance of God's visitation in our hearts. And when we love righteousness and we love his holiness and we love his person and we love the truth and we love what he says to us and it goes in our hearts, then we have fellowship. And our fellowship is a gift from God to us in an evil world. And by the way, they don't understand us because they only see the outside things. Oh, those people, they just go to church all the time. They just carry Bibles with them. Oh, those people are, and it's like they don't know like how we live, how we love, how we serve, how we forgive, how we rejoice, how we weep, how we care, what we do. They don't understand because it's not on the outside, it's something on the inside. Where did it come from? It's Jesus is with us. He has anointed us. He is preparing us. We are learning how to live, and we're learning how to love righteousness and hate iniquity in our hearts. And the Lord says, don't go with those men, then don't. Don't go with them. And go on your way. You know, that's how we want to live. Okay? Amen. Let's pray. That was great. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, many of us wouldn't be here tonight except for the fact that it is this way. It's really a drink of cold water from heaven. Real perfume from your spirit. Real cleansing in our hearts and minds. Real peace deep in our heart. Yes, we have our struggles and temptations, but we learn to deny ourselves. We learn to sacrifice something. We learn to say no, because we want to walk in the Spirit, not feed our flesh, but we want to walk in the Spirit. We want to be Spirit-filled and have your Spirit in our hearts speaking to us and loving us and having a lot of joy and peace in our hearts. When we are tired, learn to wait upon God, rest in him and follow him. When you are alone, learn to draw near to the body. When you're confused, learn to just be thankful for little things and worship God in your life. Learn to walk with God, and you'll not run in the way of Balaam. Yes, in Jesus' name. If you're not a believer, come to Jesus tonight. Say to Jesus, I need you. I want you in my life. Fill me with your Spirit. Jesus, I am like Hannah or that woman in the story of Elijah. I have a loss. I have a heartache. I have a pain. But you know that. And so visit me with counsel. Visit me with your wisdom. Visit me with your presence. Visit me with a good book that I could read. It would minister to my heart. Minister to me a devotional. Minister to me a message. Minister to me by some event. Minister to my heart and speak to me and heal me deep in my heart. Teach me to walk with you by faith. Cleanse me, and I will be cleansed. In Jesus' name, amen.